All right, Bears fans, this is Bears Wave, and today I'm going to be doing this podcast solo because Chicago Bears News is busy this week, and he said he won't be able to, but he said he'll be back next week for the Week 3 podcast. But I'm just going to jump right in and start with the recap from this week's game, and start by looking at the stats. And the stats from this week: Trubisky was 25 for 34, 73.5% completion, 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions with an 83 quarterback rating. And I'm going to get into Trubisky later on, more extended, my thoughts about him and my thoughts about, you know, the fans' reaction to him. So I'm not going to get into it right now, but after I get through the recap and the preview, I'll get into that. Jordan Howard was 14 rushes for 35 yards with a 2.5 average, which is significantly less than I expected him to get, especially against this Seattle defense that really didn't have any of their stars on the field. They were missing Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright. They had two backups for their linebackers, and their defensive line, like I said last week, is pretty downgraded from what we've come to expect from the Seahawks, talent-wise. So, kind of disappointed looking at the stats Howard put up. 14 attempts isn't a lot by any means. So, and Nagy said yesterday that Jordan Howard's going to be used more for the future. But 35 yards against a banged-up Seattle defense is not what I expected to see. Allen Robinson had a good day. He had 10 receptions for 83 yards. He's really turning out to be the guy that we expected him to be. We need to, obviously, we want to see his touchdown numbers go up, but first we need to score more touchdowns. We really haven't scored many touchdowns on offense. So once the offense gets rolling and the red zone efficiency gets going, Robinson's touchdown numbers will go up, as he'll be the number one target in the red zone, I would assume. He's the big body, number one receiver. Something that I was really excited to see was that Anthony Miller got his first touchdown this week. And that is something that was really exciting to see, because that was a drive in the, was that late third quarter, I want to say? That drive was beautiful. They moved the ball. They only had a couple third downs, but they were moving the ball down the field very efficiently. And with these kind of lateral plays that were just kind of, you know, just working. And I'm not sure if Nagy changed his play calling because of Trubisky's struggles early on in the game, and he decided to stop attacking downfield and just kind of go with the yards after catch kind of thing that the Packers were doing against us in the second half, or if that's just the way that he wanted to run the offense for that drive. But whatever it is, it worked, and not only did the players look good, but the play calling was good, and the drive, capping off the drive with an Anthony Miller touchdown, was very cool to see. Moving to the defensive side of the ball, that's probably the most exciting defense that we've seen from the Bears in a very long time. Danny Trevathan was the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. He had 8 tackles, 2 sacks, and a forced fumble, and that forced fumble could not have come at a better time. Getting the ball back with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, that was huge. Obviously, the play of the game was Prince Amukamara's pick 6 when we were up 7 in the fourth quarter. It looked like, I mean, I was nervous. It looked like Russell Wilson drive and tie the game up. And that would just crush this fan base after getting our hearts broken in week 1 against Green Bay with a big lead, and then dominating this whole game, and if they would have ended up blowing it, that would have been awful. But Amukamara made sure that wasn't going to happen. He picked off Russell Wilson and took it back for a touchdown. And that was so exciting. Khalil Mack had another huge game. Not huge game, but, you know, his impact was seen. He had another sack and a forced fumble. He had a couple other tackles and a tackle for loss. He was mic'd up for this game. And if you go to the Bears' Twitter, you can watch that clip. It's a really... really cool clip to see. He's really seemed to gel with the other players on the defense extremely fast. He's been on this team for 19 days now, and he already seems to be like one of them. Like, he's a leader out there. He's doing what we need him to do, and he did it extremely fast. The dude is—he's not only a superstar with talent, but also a superstar with just personality and work ethic. He's just an all-around amazing player and person, and that was probably one of the better trades the Bears have made in a long time. He's already proving his worth in Chicago, and that's amazing to see. Everyone loves to see a superstar on this Bears defense. This Bears defense is unbelievable. I put it on my story earlier today. This defense, the stats this defense has put up so far, has been absolutely phenomenal for 2 weeks against two, probably Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Russell Wilson probably is. Rodgers absolutely is. So you're playing two of the top five quarterbacks in the league right now, no doubt. And this defense to look that good against these two guys, it's unbelievable. And not only top five, but two of the top three most mobile quarterbacks in the NFL in terms of abilities to shed the pressure that the blitzes bring, make guys miss and make plays. These are two of the best at it, and we have a total of 10 sacks leading the NFL. The thing I put on my story earlier was Bears defense is first in the NFL in sacks, number one graded defense by PFF, first in defensive touchdowns, fourth in DVOA, and eighth in yards per game. It absolutely, after 2 weeks, is looking like an elite unit, and that's exactly what we expected, and that's amazing to see. That is going to be the defining unit for this football team. This defense is going to keep us in any game, if not win us games. And in the first 2 weeks, it put us in position to win us games. We should be 2-0. If there wasn't such a breakdown in that Packers game, this defense would be getting a lot of attention, and it is getting some attention, but it would be getting a lot more, if we would have closed out that first game. But this, I couldn't be happier with the defense so far. Something I also wanted to address is all the negative comments I've seen about Kyle Fuller, and I don't think that they're exactly necessary at this point. I mean, he's allowed two touchdowns, and he's dropped an interception, and I mean that's not great, but he's doing his job. And what Khalil Mack said, and what Danny Trevathan said, is that this defense is a unit. These guys aren't doing it by themselves. Khalil Mack is getting to the quarterback because their receivers aren't open. And Kyle Fuller, quarterback is one of the most hated positions in football because you only get to see him when either they make a good play like an interception or they get beat. And that's the only times you ever see him. And if they don't make interceptions, then the only times you see him is when they're getting beat. And that's just, it's easy to dislike a player like that. And I don't think Kyle Fuller is getting enough credit for what he's done this season. His coverage skills have been good. Yeah, he's gotten beat for two touchdowns, but those are two phenomenal throws that, other than Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, those are two of the five guys that'll be able to make that throw. We're playing Sam Bradford this week. He's not going to be able to make that throw. So if you have a guy that's not an elite quarterback, then you take those touchdowns away because those were amazing throws and they weren't bad coverage. I mean, sure, Kyle Fuller could have turned around and looked for the ball, but it's you don't know unless you're playing. And in that situation, he felt like what was best for him was to just stay on him. He was blanketed on that on Lockett in that play. Like that was perfect coverage. If he would have turned around and made a play on the ball, then yeah, that's great. But in his situation, he felt like it was better to do what he was doing, and he even got his hand in there. Lockett just made a great catch, and it was even better throw. So I think all this hate towards Kyle Fuller is ridiculous. All right, so that just about does it for the recap. I mean, I guess I should probably say the score. The Bears won 24-17. So the now I'm going to move on to the preview. The Bears play the Cardinals this week. Bears 1-1, Cardinals 0-2. The Cardinals have scored a total of 6 points this year on offense, actually, in general. The Cardinals have the 30th-ranked defense compared to the Seahawks, who had the 20th ranked, and the Packers, who have, let me check, 18th. So this is the worst defense we've played so far this year. They're 27th in the league in passing defense and 28th in the league in rushing defense. So they really don't have a strength on defense. I mean, I guess you could say their passing defense is their strength because it's 27th, but that's definitely not good. They do have some stars on this defense. Patrick Peterson and Chandler Jones, they're capable of, you know, changing a game. If Trubisky has an accurate throw, Patrick Peterson can and probably will make him pay. And if one of the tackles have a bad day, then Chandler Jones will make us pay. So there are players on this defense that you do have to look out for. You know, against Seattle last week, the only player that we were really had to be worried about was Earl Thomas. That's the only one that really was proven on that defense. Shaquille Griffin had a good day, but you know, you don't expect that out of him. You expect Patrick Peterson to have a good day, and you expect Chandler Jones to have a good day. And this defense as a unit is not bad. They have talent. They're just not like what we saw last year with our defense. They were put in a lot of horrible situations because of the offense not being able to do anything. So that has to do a lot with what's wrong with Arizona's defense. If our defense can get off the field against this 32nd ranked offense, then I'm sure, you know, Arizona's defense will fall apart. So I do think that this will be Trubisky's best game of the season. You know, Allen Robinson's going to be covered by Patrick Peterson, but then you also got Taylor Gabriel, you got Anthony Miller, who's looked good, and something that I have kind of been surprised about, not all that surprised, is we haven't seen any of Kevin White this year. I think he played 6 snaps in Monday night's game, and that's surprising because all training camp we were under the impression that he was the wide receiver 2 on this roster, but he's really not playing. And I mean, if he's not earning the play time, then I can't be mad about it. You know, if he takes advantage of opportunity this week against a bad defense, then maybe he can get himself some more playing time. But I think Trubisky's gonna have a big day this week. 300 yards. He's reached that once against Detroit last year. But I think Nagy's gonna let him throw the ball. And Nagy did say that Howard would get more time, more attempts this week. So against this week 28th rushing defense. So I do look for Howard to also have a good day. I think this is a great opportunity for the offense to have their, you know, breakout game and really just get rolling from here. This is a great opportunity to get your confidence up and just get going against a poor Arizona defense statistically. But yeah, so I look for Trubisky to have a good day. I look for Howard to have a good day. And I'm going to throw out a little prediction here. I'm going to say that Allen Robinson gets his first touchdown this week. And I think it's going to be a deep one. You know, I think there was a potential that he could have had a touchdown on Trubisky's first interception against Seattle. He had Griffin beat, and if Trubisky threw it ahead of him, then he gets to catch it on stride, and he could take that into the end zone. But, you know, who knows? But I don't like looking back at that kind of stuff. But I think Robinson has exceeded my expectations. I was a little bit nervous about him coming off a big knee injury that he would take a few weeks to get up to speed and get into game condition. But he's definitely exceeded my expectations so far as our wide receiver 1. Another thing for this preview is, like I said, kind of talked about earlier, Sam Bradford is not nearly as mobile as Rodgers and Wilson are, and we have 10 sacks against them. So I look for, you know, if the defense creates pressure, it should be a sack. They should be able to close it out. We saw it last year when we played Minnesota at Soldier Field, and Sam Bradford was the quarterback. He just kind of laid down when pressure got in his face. He is not looking to escape. He is just looking to stay healthy with all his injury history. But something that kind of surprised me is Bradford's only been sacked 3 times so far. In 2 games, he's been sacked 3 times against Washington week 1. They had, I think, 2 sacks, and I think, I could be wrong, it could be flipped. One had 2, one had 1. The Rams only had 1, I believe, this week. So that's kind of surprising. Arizona's offensive line is performing well, protection-wise. But I definitely expect the Bears to be able to get pressure. Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, Boy Robertson-Harris, and Leonard Floyd. And that brings me to the next thing I want to talk about. Today was said that Leonard Floyd is close to being able to shed the club that he's wearing on his broken hand. And that'll be huge. I think that has really been restricting him these last couple weeks. Something that he was praised for when it draft process, when he was drafted, was his hands. He was able to make it so that the offensive lineman can't get hands on him. His hands are quick, and then he's also very fast. So his speed and hands were his strengths. And right now with the club, he only has 1 hand, so that restricts him. When he gets the club off, I think that'll help him out a lot. And he'll get rolling. He's kind of been not forgotten about, but less thought about, obviously, since we've gotten Khalil Mack. So when he sheds that club and he starts going, this front seven is going to be unbelievable. You're not going to be able to stop Floyd, Hicks, and Mack. That's not going to happen. And something else that was very impressive this last week, I don't think I saw it against Green Bay. I could be wrong, but Fangio bringing corners on blitz, corners and safeties. Eddie Jackson had a sack this last week, and Bryce Callahan created pressure that led to a sack. And that's something that when you have this good of a front seven, and it requires your offensive line and your tight end and your running back to be focusing on this front seven, when you bring a corner, no one's going to touch them. No one's expecting that. No one's able to focus on that because they're so focused on this dominant front seven. So bring in Bryce Callahan, bring in Eddie Jackson in on a blitz. That's just it's too much to handle for any offense. And that's a great way to get pressure, and it's a great way to I wouldn't say a guaranteed sack, because when you're bringing a DB out of the backfield, it obviously means that you have one less guy covering. So if somebody's open, then it could be non-beneficial. But with the speed that Callahan showed on that blitz, it's almost impossible to get the ball out that fast. So it's a good way to keep the offense, watching that brings a little bit of attention off of the front seven. But it's also a great way to get pressure, and I love seeing that. That was great. So I think between all the talent that we have on this monster defense and Fangio's scheme, I think we'll be able to create some pressure and get, 4 or 5 sacks again against Arizona. I'm going to our predictions last week, me and Chicago Bears News. My prediction was 28-13 Bears, and his was 20-17 Bears. His was closer, as we won by 7, and he had us winning by 3. I had us winning by 14. So, yeah, he was closer. Wait. Yeah. All right, so my prediction for this week, I got a big game on both sides. I got the offense getting rolling, and I got the defense continuing its destruction. And I got the Bears winning 28-6. Against the Arizona Cardinals, improving to 2-1. I don't know. I could be wrong. I probably am wrong. Hopefully the Bears win by more. All right, so now that the preview is over, I'm going to address what I said at the beginning. I'm going to talk about Trubisky. And this is something that I put out a story thing saying that to ask me questions for this podcast, and I didn't even read any yet, but I scrolled through and I saw Trubisky's name about seven times. And Chicago turns on their quarterback so fast. I mean, we've never had that franchise quarterback, and it was very frustrating at times watching Jay Cutler. But man, the negativity that I saw on Sunday night or on Monday night after a win, it's the most negative I've ever seen a game chat after a win. That was ridiculous. And it was all centered around talking about that Trubisky's not good. All right, so against Green Bay, Trubisky didn't have a fantastic game, but he didn't have a horrible game. He had 171 yards, 77 passer rating, and a 65% completion. I mean, that's not horrible. It was mistake-free football, and he didn't put us in position. He didn't win the game for us, but he also didn't lose it for us. And a lot of frustration that was centered around Jay Cutler was when, interceptions, bad interceptions, in the NFC Championship game when he didn't come back in, and that was understandable. But Trubisky hasn't lost any games for us, not last year or this year. This game, the negativity obviously started when with the first interception, and then it exploded the next drive when he threw another one. He threw two interceptions, both to Shaquille Griffin. And Griffin made great plays on both. It was underthrown to Allen Robinson, and yes, his Trubisky's accuracy wasn't on all night against Seattle, and it's surprising when his strength coming out of college was his accuracy. But we saw that last year where one game he wouldn't be accurate, and the next game he'd be perfect. And it's just. You can have a bad game. Yes, it was the second game of the season. We were all excited to see how he looks in this new scheme where he gets to throw the ball. We're all so excited. I don't want to hear all this negativity surrounding Trubisky based on two decent performances. Like, you guys are almost expecting that he's perfect. You want him to come out there and be the Jared Goff. You want him to be out there and be Carson Wentz. And the fact of it is, both of those players last year were in their second year of their system, and both of those players were had been there, had practiced, had studied this system for so long. And some people are like, "Oh, the system, that's just an excuse." It's really not. Taking a guy, bring him into the NFL, who's already a raw player, as Trubisky was. And having him learn a system, he's not supposed to play last year. He's supposed to learn the system and then come in this year and play. And then we could have the expectations of Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. But he comes in, learns a new system. After playing 13 games in college, he had to learn a new system, played a season, like what, 11 games? Coach gets fired. We hire Nagy. Bring in Helfrich, this very complex, complicated scheme that Nagy and Helfrich bring. So you're making Trubisky come in, learn a system, and then learn a brand new system over the next offseason. Toss out the system you just learned, learn a brand new one. So there's going to be these growing pains. There's going to be these times where, that he's not perfect. He's not. The next, I don't even, he's not going to come in and light it up this year in a new system. As the season goes on, he should improve. If we don't see improvements, then there's concern. He should improve as he gets more familiar with the system, as he gets more time to play. He's played, let's see, over college and NFL now, he's played 26 games. So in his college career and his NFL career, he's played 26 games. That is probably half, maybe a little bit more than half of what the average quarterback comes into the NFL with, like, with that experience. He's played 26 games. He's learned 3 new systems within those 26 games. That, you can't tell me, you can't find a quarterback that's going to come in and be amazing with that. Trubisky, you heard him. You heard all the stories over training camp and the offseason. He was at Hallis Hall. He was at, you know, he was in the film room. He was studying basically 24/7 to try to get this system down. His work ethic is an A+. And that's only going to speed up the process. But you can't expect him to come in right now and be ready to, you know, be a Tom Brady, be an Aaron Rodgers. These expectations from you guys are ridiculous. And these negative comments are just shows lack of knowledge about the way that the way that the NFL works. I mean, all these people this week talking about Pat Mahomes. Oh, why didn't we draft Pat Mahomes? It's the same people that were crying last year that we didn't draft Deshaun Watson. How's Watson looking right now? You know, he's got Will Fuller still. He's got DeAndre Hopkins still. He's got O'Brien over there who's actually, yeah, right? You know, but he should be. Everyone was quick to say that we chose the wrong quarterback last year, and then this year he's not looking great. And he's got 2 ACL tears. You know, and now it's Mahomes. Same people that were crying about Watson last year are now saying Mahomes. And the difference between these two players, Mahomes went into a system, had the whole season, the whole offseason to learn it, and now he's playing. Now he's going out there. He's got the system down. He's ready. Trubisky, I'm not going to say he's not ready, but he's still learning the system, and you cannot expect him to come in and be amazing right now. Like, obviously, you know, in everyone's head, it would be great if he came out here and threw 3 touchdowns against Green Bay and we won easy. Alright, so the recording got cut off, but I'm going to start back where I was saying. It would be great to see Trubisky come in right now and throw 3 touchdowns against Green Bay and win easy. It'd be great to see him leading the league in touchdowns right now. But that's just not realistic. And this system being as complicated as it is makes it even harder for him. And it's just these expectations are not reasonable. And the people that are saying, is it time to give up on Trubisky? He's played 13 games in the NFL. 2 in the new system. If anybody says that they're giving up on Trubisky, that is absolutely ridiculous. And they're just looking for a reason to complain. You know, next year, if Trubisky's still having these problems, then you can make judgments. Then you can start voicing your disappointment. But right now, after 2 games in the new system, it's awful. I didn't even read most of the game chat. It was ridiculous. And you know, I post something about about the defense, and I got these Bears fans, these guys who are diehard Bears fans, coming into my comments and are like, well, it'd be nice if we had a quarterback. Like, that's not what the post was about. So I don't understand why, you know, you can't look at the positives. We won a game. Our defense looks great. It looks elite. You know, the system looks good. We got a great running back. We got good receivers. We got the offensive line. Look at the positives. This team is good. This team's going to win some games. And, you know, barring a very bad upset, next week at this time we'll be 2-1. Going into coming back to Soldier Field against a good Bucks team. You know, we got a good team on our hands regardless of how Trubisky's looking right now, and it's only going to get better, you know? Like, the defense is going to get better as Roquan and Mac get into game condition. The offense is going to look better as everyone gets familiar with the scheme. You know, it's not just Trubisky that's trying to learn this scheme. You know, Howard's trying to learn it. Robinson's trying to learn it. Gabriel, Burton. I mean, well, Burton's pretty familiar. But these guys, everyone is learning this scheme, and as everyone gets more familiar, it's just going to get better and better. This team is going to improve. Every year we see the team get better as the weeks go on, and it's not going to be any different this year. And if we're already winning games, this is a good team. And I don't want to, I'm sick of the negativity. I've never seen so much negativity after a loss or after a win as I saw on Monday, and that was just extremely disappointing. Alright, so I'm done with talking about Trubisky. I'm going to move on to the questions, and I'm not really going to answer any questions that are asking about Trubisky. I should have put that in my story, but I'm not going to. I just talked about Trubisky for a while, so I'm going to go to the other question. You know, maybe if Instagram would load. Okay, here we are. I haven't even read most of these yet. First one, do you think the Bears can win the division, and can they make a deep playoff run? You know, right now is hard to look at the division. If the Bears would have beat Green Bay, and then they would have tied Minnesota, then Bears would have sole possession of first place right now, and that would be a very nice start. But they're in second right now. They have just as many wins as Green Bay and Minnesota, but Minnesota and Green Bay have a tie, and we have a loss, so that separates it. You know, Minnesota, you know, there's some tough games coming up for Minnesota and Green Bay. They both have to play the Rams. They both have to play the Patriots, just like we do. But just as many hard games as they have, we have just as many easy, or they have just as many easy as we do. So it's going to take a couple upsets or an injury for, and you know, I'm never hoping for injuries, but it's going to take a couple upsets or an injury to separate us from those teams. With the start, they both have a, you know, the, we need to win the division games. We need to win against Minnesota, especially at home, if we want any chance of winning the division. We have to beat Green Bay next time we come. And right now I'm almost expecting a sweep against Detroit because that team is looking horrible. And so it's, I mean, yes, we can win the division. The offense needs to get rolling, and the defense needs to tighten up in the fourth quarter a little better. But, I mean, it's not horribly unreasonable to think that this team can win the division. The next question. Who's the most underrated player on the defense? And, you know, there's a lot of underrated players on this defense. You know, Adrian Amos is pretty underrated, but he gets some credit from PFF. They love him. I think I'm going to go with Eddie Goldman as the most underrated player. You know, I talked about it a little bit when he got his extension. He is one of those guys that goes out there and he does his job better than almost anybody in the NFL. He doesn't make the flashy plays. You know, he did have a sack against Seattle, and that was cool to see. I love seeing him get sacks. You know, his just pure power, bull rush right through a center. That's awesome to see. But he is one of, if not the best, run-stopping defensive tackles or nose tackles in the NFL. And he just goes out there and he does his job every week, and he does it better than almost anybody else in the NFL. And, you know, almost nobody knows his name. So I'm definitely going to go with Eddie Goldman for that. Let's see. This one. How hilarious would it be to see Mike Glennon getting sacked by Khalil Mack? For those of you that don't know, he's referring to this week when we played the Cardinals. The Cardinals do have Mike Glennon on that team. They signed him for the backup role. And that would be hilarious. It would be amazing. I would be ecstatic. I would almost guarantee a win if Mike Glennon was the quarterback to go out there. But it sounds like Sam Bradford's going to be the quarterback, which is great. I'm fine with Sam Bradford going out there. The Bears are in his head. He cannot perform against the Bears. So it would be pretty funny to see Khalil Mack or anybody on this defense sack Mike Glennon. Let's see. These are all about Trubisky. Do the Bears have the best defense in the league? You know, if some people that were Jaguars fans or Rams, Vikings fans listen to this, they'd probably get mad. But this defense has the talent to be the best defense in the league easily. The secondary, as a lot of you guys have concerns on, could perform a little better. You know, defend the short passes better. Tighten up in the fourth quarter if they didn't fall apart in the fourth quarter against the Packers. And I'm not blaming the defense completely on that. There's a lot of things that went into that. And if they didn't kind of show signs of doing the same thing against Seattle, then I would say absolutely they have the best defense. But seeing all those, you know, seeing Rodgers tear it up in that fourth quarter and Russell Wilson start to heat up, it kind of makes me nervous going into the fourth quarter. You need a lead, bigger lead. But seeing Amukamara and Trevathan close out that game, not only was it exciting, but it was relieving, and it was unbelievably cool to see. You know, they made adjustments from last week. Last week they couldn't make the plays to close out the game. And this week they went out there and they made the plays to finish the game. Amukamara did what Kyle Fuller should have done in week one, and he held on the interception and he took it to the end zone to increase the lead. And that's huge. And then Danny Trevathan comes out there and he gets the ball back for the offense, and that's huge. That's what we need to see. And if they can continue to play him as well as they had in the first three quarters and then close out games like they did, then yes, they have the best defense in the NFL, and it's not close. Let's see. Expectations for Roquan going forward after increased reps versus Seahawks. You know, Roquan Smith had a good game against Seattle for his first NFL game. He had 7 solo tackles and a pass defense. You know, Roquan, with missing all of preseason, missing all of training camp, the expectations lowered a bit for his rookie season, but his ceiling is still that superstar inside linebacker that we all want to see. And you know, if he turns into a star, then this defense could be heading towards historic defenses. You know, he played good. He looked like a rookie. He played good, but he did look like a rookie. He made a few mistakes. He should have tackled Russell Wilson on third down, which would have been huge. But Russell, it's hard to tackle Russell Wilson. It's easier said than done to get him down. But that would have been a tackle you'd like to see him make to bring it to fourth down. He missed a tackle on Chris Carson early in the first quarter. But I'm not worried about him at all. He looked incredibly fast. And that's really impressive to see from a guy who missed all of training camp, missed the preseason, comes in here and looks as fast as he is, and that was really cool to see. Let's see the next one. My goodness, everyone is talking about Trubisky. In your opinion, how far do you have us going in the playoffs, or what our record will be? You know, it's hard to look down the season, down the schedule, and make predictions. I used to do that, and it worked horribly. So I don't do it anymore. But you know, like I said, this schedule is not horribly hard. You got games like Minnesota, you got games like New England, like the Rams, and another one against Green Bay. Those will be tough. But then you also have 2 against the Lions. You have this one against Arizona. You got Buffalo. You got Miami. You got the Giants, who looked helpless on Sunday. You know, there's a lot of very winnable, if not easy, games that the Bears will be favored in. I think the lowest that they win this year is 9 games, and that's realistic. People can argue with me that that's unrealistic for the floor of this team. But looking at the schedule, I mean, it does not, with this defense performing like it is, you can't see guys like, you know, Ryan Tannehill and, you know, Sam Bradford making the comebacks that Rodgers and Russell started to. So I think 9 wins is the least. I think this the most could be, 10 or 11. And it's, it really depends on how Minnesota and how Green Bay does. And it also depends on how the injury you it's hard to predict because you don't know what injuries are going to happen. But, 10 and 6 could still miss the playoffs in the NFC. It's an insanely tough conference right now. So I can't say whether or not I think they'll be in the playoffs. In your opinion, what will it take for the Bears to be a serious Super Bowl contender? They're not going to be a Super Bowl contender this year. But I think if Trubisky does take that next step next year after learning the system completely, then this team could definitely be in that Super Bowl, conversation. Like the Rams, they took a huge step. Everyone was predicting them to win 5 games last year, and they came out there and won, what, 11, 12? And now they're the favorite for the Super Bowl. So, I mean, all it takes is to come out here this season, prove everybody that you're for real, and then you make some changes, you get the additions that you need to that you see fit, and you come out next year, and that's an expectation. So I think it all lies on Mitch next year. Gosh, these are all about Trubisky. Should the Bears trade Trubisky? Oh my God. Man, these are. I got a ton here, but they're all about Trubisky. Jeez. All right, I can do this one. This will probably be my last one. X Factor, other than Mac. For the defense, I'm assuming, our X Factor, I can't think of a specific player. You could say Akiem Hicks, you could say Leonard Floyd when he's healthy, but I think the X factor for this defense is just how well they all play together. And Mac fits in perfectly, and that's amazing, but this defense plays as one unit. Like Trevathan was saying, like Mac was saying, this defense plays together so well, and that's why you see, Jacksonville being so successful with their defense. That's why you see Minnesota being successful, because they play as one unit, and that is something that takes time. And that's why bringing Fangio back this year was huge. Bringing back that continuity for this defense to all have been together last year. The only change on this defense from last year was Khalil Mack, and Jonathan Bullard starting now instead of Unrein. Other than that, this defense is the exact same unit from last year, and obviously adding a superstar helps, but this defense plays as one unit, and that is unbelievably huge. I'll do one more question. This one is, will the offense get going? I think it'll improve over the course of this season. I don't think it's going to be, that the offense that you need to put you in that Super Bowl conversation, but I think it'll improve. And who knows, maybe against Arizona, against this 20 or 30th ranked defense, they have a huge day and they take off from there. Who knows? I can't say whether or not I can't say what's gonna happen. My prediction is that it'll improve from week to week. And that's all you can ask for. And I think over time, next year, I think this offense will be ready to be a top 10 unit along with a top 3 defense that'll bring us, like I said, into the Super Bowl conversation. All right, so that does it for this week's podcast. I think this one's around 40, 45 minutes, so shorter than last week because I'm doing it alone. Next week, I'll have Chicago Bears news back with me. And, hopefully we'll be talking about a 2-1 Bears team going into Tampa Bay. So thanks for listening. I would love to know what you guys think. So if you're done, when you get finished listening to this, go ahead and shoot me a message. Tell me what you think. Tell me what I need to change. If you think I sound like a moron, let me know. I just want to know. I want to get all the feedback I can, and I'll reply to everyone that that has something to say about this podcast. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.